This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
What's next after the pro-European candidate wins the presidency of France? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The euro is down 0.4% to the dollar at 109.5, and in Paris, the key stock index is down 0.9%. Analysts say built into these prices today may be a recognition that the next president of France, Emmanuel Macron, faces daunting challenges despite his resounding win at the polls on Sunday. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has been covering the French election for us. Morning, Stephen.
Hello, David.
So there's an argument here that the forces of globalization have won here in France?
Well, yes and no. I mean, this was undoubtedly a decisive win for Emmanuel Macron, an extraordinary achievement, had never been elected for public office before. But it may have been actually more an overwhelming rejection of Le Pen than an overwhelming endorsement of Macron and his pro-globalization policies. It's worth remembering that in the first round of the election, okay, he won it, but only about 25% of the voters supported his pro-globalization visions.
Now, what happens next? So just looking at the dollar-euro, one might have expected the euro to rise today. That is not happening this morning. That may be a recognition that France has a lot to sort out.
Well, I think also it's the bounce in the euro happened after the first round. It was pretty much a foregone conclusion then that Macron would win the second round. But indeed, there is in financial markets a realization that he needs a majority in the legislative elections next month, or at least form a viable coalition if he's not to become a lame duck president. And he's going to face an uphill struggle to be able to implement some of the reforms, particularly the labor market reforms that he's been promising.
The labor market reforms. This is making France's labor market, quote, more flexible, as they like to say.
Yes, very much so. Making it easier to hire and fire. In fact, when he was economy minister, he did attempt labor market reform and it caused huge turmoil. The unions erupted and the whole measure had to be hugely watered down.
And at age 39, Macron is the youngest French president since?
Napoleon, indeed.
From the European Desk, Marketplace's Stephen Beard. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down with more than 2.5 hours to go before the opening bell. The Dow future is down 15 points, less than 0.1%. The interest rate benchmark, the 10-year yield, is down at 2.33%. With the Trump administration taking a tougher line at U.S. borders, many immigrant support groups have ramped up legal services, including for those in the U.S. illegally. From time to time, I check in with Jose Quiñones, founder and CEO of Mission Asset Fund, a community lending program based in California geared toward low-income immigrants who may not have credit, even though they're creditworthy. Well, it turns out his firm has some new approaches to support families facing the chances of deportation.
What we're seeing in our community is that people are, afraid of being targeted for deportation and I mean, we had one family whose the main breadwinner was detained for over a month. And then just the financial ramifications of that particular event in that family's life was just devastating. And so what we're trying to do now is try to get our clients to better prepare, you know, financially speaking, whether it's a deportation or whether some earthquake in California or some other emergency in their lives. They have either, you know, easy access to their money, easy access to their resources, so that way they can continue on, you know, with their lives.
Now, some people will be, what's the term, unbanked. They won't have a bank account. So if you're asking them to set aside what they can, mm-hmm. it has to go somewhere.
That's right. So we created, you know, an emergency action plan for immigrants, which is to try to advise them. So like, well, this is the time to get a bank account. And when they do get that bank account, make sure that they have online access to it, right? We've been engaged with the Mexican consulate in San Francisco. We have a program called the Ventanilla, which is like a financial window of sorts, where we provide financial coaching and advice and suggestions to people that come into the consulate's office. And they have a lot of questions financially by virtue of them being fearful that they may get deported, you know, in any given day.
And you and your team have been doing some thinking about how to make money available for people in need?
Right. So in addition to helping them to think through an action plan, we're also making an emergency loan fund available, like up to $1,500, to basically help them, you know, navigate or offset whatever costs or fees that they might have to deal with. We know that when they're faced with deportation, then they have like this immense pressure to come up with a lot of money. And sometimes when they don't have access to it, they have to sort of go to the predatory loans that might actually be extremely expensive for them. So we're trying to create something that we can pilot in San Francisco with the hope of nationalizing it soon enough.
The situation varies by location. States and cities, of course, have different postures toward people who are in the U.S. without permission. Some places are more supportive than others.
So we're trying to do the best we can, you know, to provide something so that people can actually, you know, weather this storm and hopefully, yeah, and we never want to lose hope that at some point our immigration system is going to get fixed so that people can really truly come out of the shadows and then really participate in our society fully.
Jose Quinones is founder and CEO of Mission Asset Fund. He's also the recipient of the 2016 MacArthur Genius Grant. Mr. Quinones, always good to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
And Britain's Guardian has a piece today about a kind of Airbnb for refugees in the UK. It's called Positive Action in Housing for People Seeking Asylum in Europe, a system for people to make rooms available to refugee families. In January in the U.S., the actual Airbnb company put up a dedicated page so that U.S. property owners can help out. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.